afternoon, Governors. A very warm welcome to our Governor podcast. It's the 19th of April, another of our beautiful sunny days. And I'm Gabrielle Reddington, one of the leadership advisors. I'm joined this afternoon by a colleague, Mike Summers, who is head of our music service, for the first of a series of podcasts about the curriculum. Mike, you're very welcome. Tell the Governors about your role.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Summers. I run the Durham Music Service, which is the music teachers that go out into schools in Durham and Darlington that help with curriculum music, but also deliver first access music, which is whole class teaching of instrumental and small group lessons, as well as lots of outside activity, such as ensembles and performances and concerts.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mike. Mike is an incredibly busy colleague. And I'm going to admit something, Governors, here, that actually Mike's music service doesn't just teach our wonderful children and young people. No, its music service also teaches adults. And Mike's fantastic teachers have made something possible for me. I've always wanted to learn the piano. And during lockdown, Mike's music team have taught me to play piano by Zoom. And I have now, Mike, I've reached the dizzying heights. I can now play two scales and a tune. So the impact there, absolutely fantastic. Mike, I'm just going to talk to Governors a little bit about how this podcast has come about. Obviously, when the Ofsted framework changed a couple of years ago, the word curriculum reappeared, didn't it, on lots of people's lips. And that quality of education judgment really highlighted the importance of the breadth of the school curriculum. What would people teach in different subjects? And I think Governors have probably heard a lot more over the past couple of years about what's taught in the curriculum. They might have heard the word intent, how it's taught. They might hear the word implementation, but also hearing far more about the outcomes, not just for maths and English in primary school or for GCSEs in secondary school, but the impact of the curriculum for all children at different ages. So we're starting with that focus on music, which is maybe a subject Governors are really interested to know about, but maybe don't hear about traditionally. So, Mike, I'm going to ask you, first of all, I guess it's a $6 million question, really. When we think about music as a curriculum subject, obviously it's part of the national curriculum in Key Stages 1, 2 and 3. What would you say are those standout elements of music that Governors might hear a curriculum leader for music mention, you know, some of those key words and phrases?
I think the key, I mean, music's very easily broken down to three key areas, I suppose, which would be performance, composition and listening. But I think sometimes it's quite dangerous to break it down too much because they've got to be interrelated. It says in the national curriculum, the interrelated dimensions of music, which is quite a scary phrase for anyone really, and no one quite knows what it means. But it basically just is the ingredients of music. We can't compose, we can't create unless we perform. We have to have those things completely together. And listening, I think we've got to make sure that it's done in an active and appraised way. It's not just listening to a piece of music. What are we learning from that piece of music? Why is it there? And how is it going to help our knowledge to develop in whatever stage we are at music? I think it's the idea of, well, that music is really skills based. And I think very often we look at something like the Ofsted handbook and it talks about knowledge. And it's make sure we really, really remember that Ofsted always talk about skill with the capacity to perform, whether cognitive or physically, and drawing on what is known. So it's using that knowledge we've got of music as a subject, but then performing and demonstrating those skills. And it's that way to, it's not linear. It can't be linear because it's skills. It's got to be, as a lot of people describe it, as a spiral that you're adding to the skills all the time. But something that I might do in the early years group of pulse or the beat of music, I'll also look at with Key Stage 5 and A level. It comes all the way through. It gets more complex, but it's never learnt. It's always nurtured and developed. I think that's sometimes something sometimes missed.
So if I was a governor and maybe as part of my monitoring of the quality of education, I was talking maybe to the curriculum leader for music, I might hear them talking about performance. I might hear them talking about children making up or composing their own music. But also I'd hear something about the different music types of music, different composers, different periods of music that children were listening to. So I would hear those things. What if I was lucky enough to be sort of having a walk round school, what might I hear going on in a music lesson? Let's go with a primary school first, Mike, because nearly all our governors that are today are probably primary governors. What if I was lucky enough to be in a music lesson and seeing all those children really enthusiastic, Mike, what might I see and hear going on?
I think the first thing would be stupidly say, but music. I always say that you wouldn't go to watch a PE lesson and expect them to stand around talking about it. They'd be doing. I mean, that's the best way to any good music is learnt by doing, by taking part and being involved. And I think, you know, especially for primary, singing has to be at the heart of that. You know, it's the easiest way to make music, but very often we're quite shy about doing it. And it's, you know, it's really engaging for young people. Primary school pupils love doing it. And if singing sits at the heart of your curriculum, everything else can build around that and develops on top of that. I think the other key element is actually is the key words of music, actually to allow them to access that subject, whatever it may be. And I think it's also that those words should be appropriate to the genre of music as well. So if you listen to a particular genre of music, talking about those specific key things that relate to that genre, so we're able to access that genre fully to unlock that cultural capital that we're learning all the time, but to really open pupils' eyes up to the breadth and depth of the fantastic subject.
I'm going to put, well, let's pause there before we move on to slightly older children. Let's just unpick a few of those things that you've mentioned there for governors. It was really striking me when you were talking there, Mike, about the importance of singing and a couple of things that we know are so important for our children, especially at the moment. And I was thinking about the link that we know about singing and well-being, for example. And then you mentioned about vocabulary and talking, and I'm just thinking at the power of singing for developing children's confidence with early language and their confidence to hear themselves speak and sing. And I know that's something you're really interested in, isn't it? The role of singing and music in well-being.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just, you know, from its very simplest, it's coming together to do something. It's, you know, throughout lockdown, we've had something like our 15 minutes of music. We streamlined to schools and all pupils can take part. And it's that idea of just doing something together. And that's its simplest form. But obviously we can build on top of that and actually pupils developing resilience and coming together, hearing what they're learning, sticking at something and actually developing a skill as a result. We know scientifically that actually there's a lot of endorphins released when we sing, when we make music. I can't remember what the exact endorphin is, I apologise, but it's the same one that releases when you actually eat chocolate. So it's that feel-good hormone that creates through singing and being together that you can get. Okay, we could eat lots of chocolate, but I think in healthy schools that doesn't quite work. So we can sing instead. So I think there is something we can do singing at every level, at every account. And as you quite rightly say, that idea of the rhythmical nature of language. And so through language acquisition, especially at early years and at lower key stage one, that development together of singing, of chanting through, that we do through phonics, but we could easily do it through singing or should do it through singing as well. But I think it's important that we don't see that as music curriculum always. That could be something that supports other curriculum areas as well. And they can go hand in hand, but there's sometimes a danger that we class that as music. And I think that we've got to consider how we actually deliver that.
Mike, let's come on to that in just a moment. Colleagues, as you can hear, one of the great things about these podcasts, as you'll know, remember last month for Governors, we heard from Kate about Sports Premium, and I talked about her enthusiasm. And this is one of those moments where, again, if we're on our own YouTube channel, you could see the passion and enthusiasm with which Mike speaks, and it is really infectious. And I know, Governors, many of you have watched some of the live streaming of some of the music service events. And I know also, Governors, one of the great things about being a governor, isn't it, is when we get invited to those special events in school, and we get to see and sometimes even join in with the singing. And I know we're really looking forward to getting back into our schools. It's one of the great upsides of being a governor, Mike, is being invited to those occasions. Mike, just before we kind of move, I do want to go back and talk about early years in a moment, particularly because we have lots of nursery governors, so I think they'd be interested. Can we just have a little word about music in Key Stage 3 and Key Stage 4? Because, of course, you know, the whole point about the curriculum is that we build it over time, don't we? And, you know, our little people become children at primary school and they go on to be our pupils at secondary school. And, you know, music is a really popular GCSE and beyond, isn't it, in County Durham? And we've got some amazing musicians of 17, 18, 19, haven't we? And I'm just thinking about some of those amazing jazz and brass players who you might hear, but they all start off as those little people in early years with with the tambourines and the noisy violins and all those things. Let's think about Key Stage 3 for a moment, though. We get to secondary school. If I'm a governor and I'm linked to quality of education, I talk to the head of music at a secondary school. You know, what are the challenges for our teachers delivering music? Well, to teenagers who, let's face it, often they're not quite as keen on having a go with, and they may not no longer feel as confident with singing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a challenge. I think very easy you can trick young people into singing without even realising it. So I think it's using, you know, repeating rhythms back, and then before you know it, you've actually added a sense of pitch and they're developing. And I think you find it's around that sort of year eight dip, isn't it, when hormones kick in, when it's a real challenge. But actually, I always found that sort of year nine, towards the end of year nine, year 10, actually they were quite happy to do it, so it's something they could relate to. I always found as a secondary teacher, all you need to do is put a drum beat against it and service is mint. No, it's still Elgar. It's just got a drum beat in the background. But it's making it relevant to how their ears train. But I think it's also making sure that we don't, I think there's a danger we think, oh, everything wants to be pop. And from my experience, pupils respond really well to a good melody. And so actually when I was running choirs or working with young people, they like a nice tune, and that can be in any context with any different instrument, and it's something they can access. We all love music, and music is so part of it, because we come away, we sing it, we hear it in our heads, it's everywhere. And if we access that in the curriculum, allow young people to hear those earworms and those catchy bits, even if they don't feel they've learnt something, they will have done, but they'll have that little bit going around in their head, that little riff. And, you know, something like a hook or a riff that we talk about a lot in music can be something like, you know, like the opening of Pachelbel's Canon that we can all hear, or sort of the opening of Zadok the Priest. But it can also be Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses, or it can be Coolio's Paradise, which is the show my age 20 years ago, hot hip hop. But it's the same riff. And those interrelated dimensions of music we talked about earlier, they keep coming back all the time. I think one of the real challenges in the Key Stage 3 classroom, though, is ensuring that progression all the way through. And I think sometimes what some teachers fall into the trap of is talk about topic-based learning, which can really, if we're not careful, can really hinder that learning, because it's restricting where we go with it. I always prefer to see a curriculum map, if governors are looking at with staff, that's based around skills and what we're outcomes are trying to learn, and then the topics or genres of music just ported in at appropriate moments. So we'll look at all those genres. It's important that we do and look at those composers and those key moments in musical history, but that's through the skills map, and they're just dropped in appropriately, not that for 9 weeks we're going to look at blues. And I think it's very important, if we do that, we can look at a topic from early music history right through the modern day, and that can cover in a couple of weeks' time. And so at some point there is something that a young person in that classroom will relate to and be engaged with, even if not all of it, and they can learn as a result.
So if for governors in Key Stage 3, there are some interesting conversations to ask about how the curriculum's been organised. And I mean, I certainly think one of the things that governors often talk to me about is, you know, how do we ask leaders about how much time certain subject areas have. And I know this is something that you and I actually have talked to governors about, isn't it, in the past, and also to school leaders, about looking at the time allocation for those subjects which they might be slightly more unfamiliar. And unfortunately, music often doesn't get that big chunk of curriculum time. So I think that's something for governors to think about, isn't it? Actually, how have leaders organised the curriculum and curriculum time? Let's just give governors just a little hint, because I like governors to know the end of the story as well. So when we get to doing our options in GCSE, I don't know whether governors are aware. I mean, it's not just GCSE music, is it? There are lots of other sort of related qualifications that young people might follow that have music at their heart. Just give us an idea of a couple of what might those be, Mike?
Well, I mean, obviously, there's something like the vocational route, like the BTECs as well. There's some new developing music tech vocational courses, but a lot of the exam boards as well are running sort of more online courses that pupils can engage with in different ways. I think the analogy that I always like around progression at the end of Key Stage 3 is what Martin Fortley, who's a music educationist, always speaks about. And it's like a train track that you get to the end. And really, so we need to think of Key Stage 3 as preparing our pupils on that train track, But when they get to the end of year 8 or ideally year 9, they can therefore decide where they want to go with that knowledge they've got. It could be to the academic route of taking a GCSE or a BTEC, but it could also be that they're still engaged with the extracurricular ensembles within the school, that they're taking part in other areas. And that, to me, is as vital as actually, once they've had that grounding through earlier key stages, as taking the GCSE and A-level.
I think that's really interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we, you and I are both teachers originally of non-compulsory subjects. For governors who don't know, I'm originally a teacher of history. And, you know, Mike and I have both, over the years, you know, there have been so many children we've had to say goodbye to at the end of year 8 or year 9, haven't there? Because they just didn't have space to carry on doing our subject. But of course, what you always want to plant is that knowledge that will grow with them forever. And I think with music, it is that, you know, planting that enough knowledge and enough skill to be with you for life. Let's just jump back, right back to our really, really little people. Early years framework is changing, but some things stay forever the same. For our governors of nursery schools and our governors with a special interest in early years, Mike, I know you've done lots of work around this with teachers. What happens about music in the early years?
I think it can be everything. I mean, I think it's using those, you know, those key, those simple nursery rhymes, those really catchy tunes that we all know that sung to us from birth, and actually kind of, you know, it's like Beatles songs. We know the lyrics without actually knowing about it. But then very simply, we can adapt it to what's actually happening in that young person's life. So we can, you know, so again, it's about that language acquisition. So, you know, Frère Jacques, instead of that, we could sing "It is raining," because we live in the Northeast, apart from today, which is beautiful. You know, and or, you know, that child-led learning, which is so important in early years as well, and responding to what they're doing. But I think, you know, we can, at all the time, there is, I don't think there's a moment in the early years learning that you can't use music. It can be used as a way to calm children down, just to make them quiet. It can be used as a way to actually get everyone together. I've seen it used fantastically, just a rhythm, a simple rhythmic phrase that's clapped, and they know that it means something. And so I think, you know, when I've seen it used so successfully, it's used at every single part of early years. But I think one of the challenges is as well that very often nursery staff, early years practitioners, aren't always as confident, especially when they first start at using their voices. You know, very often they're young themselves. They develop very quickly, but I think it's up to governors to actually question them and to support them to actually develop that knowledge and those skills. You know, I think it's quite scary, isn't it, singing in front of your peers? I'm not like you, Gabrielle. I'm not an expert pianist. And actually, when I was teaching, you know, my piano skills weren't great. They were passable. They weren't great. I always, you know, I was insecure about that. But the kids always thought I was amazing, only because I could blag different chords and chase a transpose button. But I think it's that. It's knowing how you can use your skills and develop it for those young people in front. But what's amazing about work with early years is they never question what they're doing. They're just engaging it fully. So it's up to us to develop that, to see how they're responding to it. If we can stretch it, if we can speed the music up, if we can slow it down, if we want to make it about mood, we can make it happy, we can make it sad, purely through using our voices. We don't need anything else. And I think that's what we really need to make sure is ingrained.
So I think that's quite an interesting point we can probably just pull a bit wider, and because obviously governors, as part of their role in terms of, you know, leadership and management of the school, do have that duty of finding out what professional development is available to staff in their school, in their setting. And, you know, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because that's a kind of specialist knowledge, which it might seem specialist knowledge in terms of music, but actually in terms of an early years setting, that's absolutely vital, isn't it? And I have a very strong memory of visiting an early years setting a couple of years ago where clapping the rhythm from the film music for Mission Impossible was actually the rhythm that accompanied tidying up time. And it was just one of those, as you said there, Mike, just something came back to me. Mike, let's just pivot back a little bit. You mentioned something a couple of moments ago about involvement in other aspects of music. And if we think about music is one of those areas of school life which isn't just on the curriculum, and it can be part of everything. You know, I think especially in a primary school or in a really, you know, in a busy secondary school, it plays a huge part in that personal development, in extracurricular activities, and you know, you know, I suppose really that whole development of the SMSC and cultural capital offer to children. Let's talk a little bit about if a governor's involved in monitoring personal development, which is obviously, you know, could be a particular governor's responsibility. What kind of things might they hear about music? Let's think about extracurricular music. I mean, if you're in a Durham school, what do lots of our Durham schools sort of do for extracurricular music?
I mean, I think there's a huge range. I think the ideal extracurricular offer would be responding to the needs of the pupil to an extent, stretching them. So making sure that actually, for example, if you have a group of really good singers, that actually you come together and you build a choir with them, or you spend a choir, but actually you stretch them in terms of their repertoire. So you're allowing them, they might start with a pop song that they all know, but then they end up with something, a piece of classical music, a piece of Mozart, a piece of Stanford. So they've got that full range of music there. I think also we've got to make sure it's accessible for all. So therefore, that all pupils have the opportunity to engage in some form of musical ensemble. There will obviously be, especially in the secondary, there will be certain ensembles that have certain levels that you'll need to get to be able to engage with that. And I think that's right. And that's part of, you know, how a musical world works. But we've also got to accept, and we've got to make sure there's allowances for the people that aren't at that level yet to scaffold that, to actually give them support. So if we're going to, so for example, I used to run a chamber choir of sort of the 20 I don't say the best because it's not always the case, but the most proficient singers, but I suppose, in the school. But then we had a senior choir and a training choir that went around that. So everyone had the opportunity and they could all be part of that. I think, you know, we've got to give all young people the opportunity to perform as well. There's a real danger with music. It can be quite isolating. And you can sit in a practice room, maybe with a member of our staff, maybe on your own, learning a piece of music. But if you don't see that wider reason for doing it, it very quickly becomes stale. It's been a real challenge for us over the last year. We haven't had those live opportunities to actually, that's the lifeblood of music, is actually performing. And I think going back to our very first question, we talked about composition, especially at Key Stage 4, you know, to actually make sure it's not just on the computer. How do we make sure that that composition has life? It might not be submitted to an exam board like that or at Key Stage 3, but can we write for an instrument that actually played live? Because hearing a computer doing it and hearing a person doing it is so different, and that gives the real vitality to that piece of music. So I think the extracurricular, and I think as well allowing people actually opportunity to create as well. Very often with extracurricular, we go down the performance route, and that's right to do to an extent, but actually I've seen some really successful ideas where there might be a folk group or a jazz group, allowing pupils to have a bit more of their own voice in that and lead. And I think some really successful schools actually allow pupils to lead the ensembles, that we give them the musical grounding, but they can lead the ensembles themselves, and the music teachers are just around there to help and support.
And for you know, we might have some governors, especially if they've not got children of their own, who might not have experienced the special privilege that it is when your own children learn musical instruments through the music service and bring home the squeaky violin, or in my case, the extremely large double bass, which had to be around for many years. Mike, just tell you a little bit about learning a musical instrument, and, you know, because so many of our schools, they make a huge commitment to that, don't they? And I expect governors will hear about that, will probably see some spending from school budgets on that, may see pupil premium funding supporting any of our disadvantaged children to make sure that they fully participate in all this offer. I mean, you know, tell us about the instruments children in Durham learn, Michael.
Well, it could be literally anything. I would say, you've trailed the double bass beautifully, and we have quite a few spare in the music service. So if anyone would like to play double bass, we do offer two, so you can have one at home and one in school. But, I mean, it depends on the age of the pupil. And, you know, obviously, a younger pupil, if it was strings, the chances are they'd start on a violin, but then they might move on to a cello, or they sometimes, in some cases, start a cello. We do offer every instrument, really. We struggle with nose flute, but we could improvise. But we, you know, all main classical instruments. We do a little bit of piano, because what the model that we use is that, so that group teaching models, we very rarely teach individual pupils. We may when they get older and to a certain age, but actually we find that actually the pupils really like working with each other. and actually responding to each other. And even during lockdown, when we were doing Zoom lessons, a couple of kids would say, oh, can we just stay on and have a chat because it's nice to see each other? And actually being part of that, so in groups of twos or threes or fours. But that allows us also, because I'm very keen, that we make sure that we keep the costs fairly standard throughout. So a young person will pay the same, be it paid by themselves or paid through pupil premium to the school, will be the same as a starter in, say, year three or year four, as one that leaves at the end of sixth form. So I think it's unfair in a way that if we carry on going, we charge them more for success, because progression is so much a part of that. I think it's really important as well that we realise that we try to support them in terms of lots of extracurricular activities. So we get them involved with those, either within school or some of our ensembles we run ourselves. So as soon as that pupil feels confident to do so, there's an ensemble to take part in, so they can develop that. You know, going back to that well-being, being part of that social activity that is music, and a lot of us as musicians, some of our best friends are those that we learnt, you know, we learnt instruments with, we, you know, played with. I was very fortunate to be in National Youth Choirs when I was younger, and some of my best friends are still those, the people that I went away in residential courses with. And I think that's what music can bring, is so much more than music itself. It's that wide, the soft skills, that sort of the social interactions that we'll get for a long period of time. So we like to think that we will teach any instruments in music. What we also do try to make sure is that we make sure that we put in the primary school, there'll be an instrument that can then carry on in secondary school. I think sometimes, so therefore it's making sure we get those progression routes right. So it might be that they do a whole class ukulele subject and in year four, then they'll go on to small group guitar in year five, and we'll make sure ideally it's the same guitar teacher in the secondary school. So in some instances, pupils' longest serving teacher is a member of the music service that's taught them for many, many years. And I think that's really important, that relationship as well.
Michael, I think that's such a hugely important point about, and I guess for governors, they might be hearing about these layers and layers of connections that there are between schools, you know, primary schools onto secondary schools, whether they're an academy or a freestanding school, all those different things. And governors, I mean, one of the other things that Mike's really not mentioning is just the huge amount of work that he and his service do about bringing opportunities to children and young people in Durham. And it really builds on our county's heritage, doesn't it, Mike? And I'm thinking about the heritage we have of our brass band performance, of our fantastic voice tradition in the county. And, you know, practically every village in this county at one time had an ensemble, and it was the brass or the silver band, wasn't it? For one of our steel or our mining communities. There's that big festival every year that you involve children in the brass festival. So let's hope that very soon those things will be happening again. Mike, I'm conscious of time, and we like to keep our podcast just long enough for governors either to drive or to do the washing up. So I'm just going to say, I just want to give you a chance. You know, what could governors look out for over the coming term, next term or two, from the music service? Because we know lots of them enjoyed your live Christmas concerts by Zoom. And so, you know, we're still on Teams and Zoom, aren't we, for a little while yet? What's coming up? What might they hear schools talking about?
Well, we're still thrilled that we're able to offer fully subsidised our 15 minutes of music. So that's accessible for all primaries or secondaries, but aimed primarily at primaries. So that's 15 minutes of music at 9:15 every day, from sign song to body percussion to music appreciation. That's on our website, just Durham Music Service, durhammusic.org.uk. Give the right address, that'll help. But at the moment, we're starting to approach schools about primary provision for next year. So actually how we can help and support them in their music curriculum and their pupils' learning. We're very fortunate that we are funded partially through Department for Education and Arts Council, which allows us to give a subsidy to each school to have each primary school to have some sort of whole class teaching experience. And we will speak to every school. Emails will have gone out, brochures will have gone out now. We've got a virtual launch is happening very soon. I think by the time this podcast has gone out, it's happened, but that stuff will all be on the website. So governors can look at that and see what's appropriate. And what I really pride ourselves on is that we're fully bespoke. We don't say this is the service. We give a broad offer of certain things, but we will speak to every school, to every head teacher, every music coordinator, and what's right for your pupils. And actually, you know, what the school thinks, what we think, and we'll come to agreement to make sure that actually that's embedded as part of the curriculum. And it's not just a one-off. We don't just come in and do a quick workshop. We can, of course, do that. But we actually leave legacy and we leave musical learning so the pupil can develop all the time. So the brochures are out now. And I say the details are on our website. And in secondary schools as well, you know, that idea of progression and actually small group teaching. One of the things that we've actually suffered during lockdown is a lot of people haven't been able to engage in musical learning. So we're really keen to open those opportunities up again. So we'll be going out to secondaries and primaries about that small group teaching. And as you've already alluded to, Gabrielle, adult learning as well. So, I keep saying it, but the details are on our website. But if anyone would like to speak to us about the musical learning in their school at any phase or any context, please get in touch. We offer a huge amount of CPD as well through network meetings with Education Durham, through some of our youth music funded work for early years. So we're very happy to speak to people and to make sure that actually what we're offering is right for the pupils and for the school.
Thanks so much, Mike. Mike, what I'm going to do is when we send these details out to governors, I'll just make sure that there's a link to your website, that's there as well. Governors, I hope that's been a bit of an insight for you into I guess the wonderful world of music, which sounds a little bit corny, but wow, what a lot we've heard this afternoon. Obviously, you know, in terms of that contribution to the substance of children's education, the curriculum, the experience and the knowledge children gain from music, and the self-esteem and the well-being children gain from learning they can have a go, and the involvement and the social skills children gain from being involved, all the way up to, performance, be it formal or informal. And there's as much joy, isn't there, in watching, the children in early years discovering the instruments in the corner, as there is in sitting and watching, as you know, Mike and I will have sat and watched children at the end of their schooling career, on the edge of going, you know, leaving at A-level, going on to music college and listening to and watching them conduct their own, sometimes orchestral piece of work. And they all started in that music corner in the early years classroom, with just probably just hitting something with a stick and finding a rhythm and finding their voice. So just such an amazingly important subject. Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. Governors, if you're thinking about monitoring visits, you know, remember, they don't have to be in school. You might be doing those remotely at the moment. And it's been great to hear all the different ways you've been doing that. And I think over the summer term, we'll be starting to plan your process of monitoring. And, you know, when you think about that quality of education, it's about thinking about that range of subjects that you might want to find out more about when you're thinking about what the school offers. And that's there. There's obviously more information for schools who have joined with Governor Hub and the Key for School Governors offer. You know that there's more information there and lots of ideas. As always, Governors, if you've got something you'd like to hear a podcast about, just drop us an email. We have podcasts coming up very soon about safeguarding. We have been asked to do a podcast about catch-up funding, and I've got a couple of my colleagues working on that at the moment. And we will, of course, as I said at the start, we're going to come to a whole range of curriculum subjects over the next few months, so that if you've got a particular interest, you can follow it up. Thanks always to Donna, who sits there in the background and records all this and does all the technical wizardry, which is completely beyond me. Mike, a really special thank you to you for joining us this afternoon. As always, your enthusiasm, absolutely infectious. I can't wait till we're back in a concert hall listening to everybody from our early years music groups to seeing our signing choir, because music in our special schools is amazing. Our jazz group, our singers, our performers, all the way up to our amazing A-level and BTEC composers. So thank you so much for joining us, Mike and Donna. I thank them on your behalf, Governors. Mike, will you come back and talk to us again another time?
Of course. Lovely to be here, and thank you for the time.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Governors, and have a good rest of the week wherever you are, and we'll be back with you soon with our podcast. Bye-bye now.